Mark, I think you've got something.
Yes, I would like to address, can you hear me out there? I would like to address Mr. Verto and Dr. Raj on, I'm asking some questions here for some concerns, and I'd like you to discuss it if you can. It's my understanding there's a fault line somewhere near Mack Point, and there was in the early 70s there was an attempt to build a nuclear power plant on Sears Island, and I believe that was turned down after test borings over concerns over a fault line. So I'd like to know if you've done test borings, if you're familiar with the fault line and what type of response or emergency plans you would have in place if there was an earthquake in the vicinity of your proposed facility.
We're happy to answer that. I think there's somebody who may be better qualified to answer the question, if that's all right, and that's David Graham.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is David Graham. I'm the project manager on this project. Yes, we did a lot of test borings, especially directly under the tank. There were five test borings under the tank. We went down. There's no evidence of a fault line. We also went to the main geographic survey and looked around. There is a fault line up near Swanville. Is that the name of the town? Hang on. I have it here. There's not a fault line under the tank, I guess is what I'm getting at. We have to design the tank for several building codes, API, which is the American Petroleum Institute, 620 Appendix L. We have to design it per the International Building Code, the Maine Building Codes, the American Society of Civil Engineers Minimum Design Building Codes. So all of those take earthquakes into consideration, and then the calculation has to be done based off of the seismic zone you're in, the weight, the height, diameter, etc. of what you're building. And then the civil engineers will design for that criteria. And that's what was done for this
tank. On this proposed tank for Searsport, what magnitude earthquake are you designing in anticipation of the rare possibility it could happen?
We are following what is shown in the seismic zoning maps, which are done by the International Conference of Building Officials and Structural Engineering Societies. It's not as easy as just saying it's a magnitude 5 earthquake. There's a lot more involved in it based off of the soil condition that you're actually building on top of, how deep the bedrock is. There's not just a line drawn in the sand for magnitude 3 earthquake. It's not that simple.
Are you going down to bedrock, right?
And beyond on some places.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
Nothing further? Brian? That's you.
No, Mr. Chairman, I had the same question as Mark. So thank you for your answer.
Neil, did you want to rebut something else in here?
No, I had a question for David Graham, where I'd just like a little more explanation on the flare. We've had a couple citizens, we had one last night that was concerned about the operation of the flare, and some people have talked about in your application here, it says you've licensed it for 500 hours a year. I didn't think that it's only going to operate for a very fraction of that. Could you explain to us about how many hours a year you expect that flare to operate? And would the pilot be on all the time and be a visual thing, or will it be an intermittent pilot?
Our goal is to flare 0 hours per year. When we're flaring propane, we're burning propane. We like to sell propane. So our goal is 0 hours per year. There's really no way of saying it's going to be 10 hours a year, 20 hours a year. We will flare definitely to test the flare during the course of the year. That's part of our safety programs, to test the flare. But it's like predicting how often the power is going to go out up here, or if a piece of equipment is going to fail.
No, I understand that you'll have to use the flare during an extended power outage. I was just asking, wanted to clarify that it's not going to be on when the plant is in normal operation.
No, it will not be on in normal operation. We do not want to run the flare at all.
Thank you.
Let's please confine our remarks to the two gentlemen who are only going to be here tonight. I think David Graham will be here for the rest of the session and beyond. Brian?
I'm good.
L.A.?
Not for these two gentlemen, no.
Cindy?
No, I'm good. Thank you, Bruce.
You're very good. I have one for Mr. Baldridge. And that may not relate directly to performance standards, but I understand you're planning to run the operation on imported propane. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Isn't that a little more expensive than domestic propane at present?
At the present market, it is more expensive. That is correct.
And roughly, what is the spread between the two?
The spread moves around quite a bit, and over the course of this project, it's moved around quite a bit. It has been, you know, as wide as a dollar. It has been as narrow as zero. It's but the point on our project is this is a long-term asset, something that will be in operation for many, many years. The propane market fluctuates quite a bit. And if you think about it over a long period of time, we think the market is ripe for bringing in propane at Searsport over a long-term basis.
And at present, is the market fluctuation about a dollar?
Mm-hmm.
And been that way for a while, even in excess of that?
That is correct.
It just kind of scratched my head and wonder why you invest $40 million or $50 million into a project that doesn't look like it would make money today. But you answered the long run, and if you have all that backing on the thing, I guess you can do it.
That's correct.
It's your money.
That's correct.
And that's not one of our standards. If you lose money, that's your thing. It's not ours.